The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course the DraftKings Network. However you're taking us in this morning, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Midland. Producer number nine, so much more than a producer. From Bar Canada at the D, how you doing? You got golf and college basketball fever today?
Yeah, I do, buddy. Yeah, I do.
The Players' Championship.
Let's go.
Hope everybody listened to Long Shots. It's called Long Shots. Hope everybody listened to your podcast.
Rory already won. It's 4 under 5.
It's over? Well, wrap it up, everybody. It is the Thursday before March Madness. 4 years ago, not to the date, but 4 years ago this Thursday was, of course, the day that the world shut down sports-wise. And the year after, we actually ran clips from the year before, and it was kind of spooky. I think when Crack is here later, Bill Krakenberger, Unscripted, we'll just go through a brief timeline of it because it's so surreal. And I was looking at it yesterday that I had written down a timeline of every little thing that happened on that show. So we'll talk about that a little later on. College hoops today, though, is at the four. Tim Murray from VSiN Primetime with all his plays. What a day of college hoops, conference hoops. Yesterday, three more auto bids. Three more secured in college basketball. I think we're up to 14 now of the 32 auto bids that eventually end up in the NCAA tournament. Southland Conference, McNeese State, they were a -330 favorite to win that tournament. They get it done against Nichols. Patriot League, no surprise. Colgate in a route, -250 pre-flop favorites in the Patriot League tournament. They're on their way once again to the big dance. I say once again, but besides Northwestern, remember Colgate of all universities had like the longest time to wait before they ever got into the big dance, historically speaking. And then Big Sky tournament last night. This is like Wagner all over again. Wagner in the Northeast. Montana State, the Bobcats, go on a 47-21 run. Ooh. The last 17 minutes of that game against Montana. And the fifth seed Bobcats, 16-1 pre-floppers in the Big Sky tournament, are headed to the dance, probably getting a play-in. So if you talk about of the auto bids, the three biggest long shots that have gotten in. In third place from the Big South, the Longwood Lancers, who are 13-1 to win that tournament. They were the fifth shot in that tournament. Last night, the Montana State Bobcats, 16-1 in the Big Sky. And then, of course, the big one, Wagner. Wagner in the Northeast was 20-1.
That is wild.
Both Montana State and Wagner were three games under 500 before they entered their respective conference tournaments. They're headed to next week, at least in a play-in.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know much about the storied rivalry between Montana State and Montana College Hoops, but I'm going to guess Montana State hasn't had many moments like this. So
this is their third straight year winning that tournament.
Are you serious?
Yeah, they just were a huge long shot this year. Yeah, so they get it done at 47-21. Like, they took a double-digit deficit and just won it going away.
That's wild.
A couple other things happened in college basketball. If you were in the Twitterverse yesterday, you know our buddy Steve Fezzik did the whole thing where he... I love you, Stevie, but when you're taking a -4,000 money line, I'm not sure why you feel the need to announce it to everybody, but he does because his brain works that way.
For someone who didn't have any action in the moment...
Everybody was watching this because of this.
I know this happens. I'm sure I know this happens to you, but like, I'm sure this happens to a lot of people. Like, my phone starts like I get probably four text messages.
Everybody, Jason Weingart's
texting me. And then I'm like, oh, let me turn on this game.
Michael Montesano's texting me. Everybody's aware of it. So Steve Fezzik, the only back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest in football, famously took Purdue on the money line last year when Fairleigh Dickinson upset them in a historical 16-1 game in the NCAA tournament. So he had Villanova, the Big East tournament. Yes, the Big East tournament started yesterday. Villanova was playing DePaul. DePaul's 3-29. There's 362 teams in D1. DePaul on KenPom is 308.
I didn't even know their record was that bad.
Oh, yeah. No, they're terrible. They're absolutely terrible.
Interim coach. And so Steve, that last
by
night.
The way, he should be fired before today's game, Neptune. So -4,000, he lays on, I don't know if he's doing it in a parlay. I think he's laying it straight on a money line, -4,000 on Villanova. And it takes a three-pointer in the closing seconds for the Wildcats to get by. Oh, man. And then Stevie's like capital letters talking schmack on Twitter. Yes, this is going to be a huge march.
That's why you play the money line and you don't lay the points.
Right. They were 24 and a half point favorites in the game.
That was wild.
So that was just hilarious to watch last night.
I mean, it was one of those. So I'm getting texts. And then it's the, like, I felt like I was sweating the bet with Steve, right? I mean,
especially,
we're always rooting for Steve anyways, but especially after that one last year where I'm just like, all right, come on. We got to get this. So we got to get
this. I'm rooting for it, but the whole time I'm shaking my head. I'm like, oh, no. Oh, no. It's just, I think God got it fortunate, real lucky at the end. And Villanova. But it just does highlight when the committee gets together on Sunday. Good God. I mean, let's say Villanova doesn't get any further than this. If they start leaving out, I'm getting mad about it already. If they start leaving out the Indiana States of the world, you know, and put in the Virginias and the Villanovas. Good God, what are they doing? You know, well, I said that earlier this week.
And I don't know that it's the case with all the other conferences, but you're talking about some of these long shots, you know, hitting in the conference tournaments, and that creates those issues sometimes where you think there's only one team maybe going out of that league, or one or two, and then you get these long shots winning them and grabbing automatic bids.
One more thing in college basketball. We do this, I do this without shame because he's our buddy, and as I always say, he's going to be more famous than all of us here at VSiN. It's our buddy Ben Wilson. WAC had a first round game yesterday between Stephen F. Austin and Abilene Christian. Ben Wilson on the call, and it went down like this.
Lost the ball. Simmons up ahead. Simmons blocked at the rim. What a play by Christmas. 1 second to go. Kajus for the win. Oh, it's good. Lumberjacks win.
That's awesome. Benny, baby. Stephen F. Austin, the Lumberjacks beat Abilene Christian on that three at the buzzer, 60-57.
Yeah, it's such a great video. I think they're at the Orleans now, right? I think that this tournament at the Orleans, it was like...
Yeah,
there was
the WAC replaces the West Coast Conference at the Orleans.
It was like, looked like there was a whole 16 people on there for the call. Bets going off. It was great. It was great. What an awesome ending. Awesome. I love it. Whenever Ben Wilson calls to end up on my timeline and get circulated, it's great.
It's such a great time in Vegas. Big West is over at the Dollar Loan Center, which you and I saw Wembanyama for the first time at 4,000-seat arena, as we talked about yesterday. Okay, we'll talk more college basketball with Tim Murray. We'll talk about Final Four markets here coming up. Real quick, tennis yesterday. It was a three-dog tennis day. As you know, we went 1-2 and had ourselves a winning day. Should have been 2-1. Dion Parry, which, by the way, the announcers, Brett Haber and Jim Courier, we're struggling with the pronunciation. They're calling her Diane Parry the whole time.
Awesome.
And finally, they like they did a whole thing. They were asking people behind the scenes, how do you pronounce the name? And they're like, oh, like the city, Parry. And it didn't occur to them that Diane wasn't Diane. It's actually Dion. So they started calling her Diane Parry. Anyway, she's up a break in the third, and the stage was too big for her. She kind of gacked it. Maria Sakkari beat her. She was a $2 dog. And earlier, Grigor Dimitrov, who was a plus 137 dog for us, part of that handicap, much of that handicap, was that it's a slow, hard court. But after the match, which Daniil Medvedev beat him in straight sets, Daniil Medvedev said the court played completely different today. It was super fast, like I like it. It was just bizarre because the court plays differently at different times of day and different temperatures at Indian Wells. So if we had known that, obviously, wouldn't have been a play. So we lost both of those. But guess what happened earlier? And I know most of y'all played this, so I know you know. Emma Navarro, plus 409. Some folks here reported that they got it as long as plus 425. Emma Navarro took down Aryna Sabalenka, the world number two. And so that's another winning day for us in tennis. Would have been even more monster had Parry won, but $4 dog on Navarro, we'll take it. And that's another winning day. So just shy of 20 units to the positive on the season in match play this year. Tons of people were joyous about it on Twitter because they were playing with it. Two different people on Twitter mentioned that this was their first tennis bet ever. And I'm like, okay, I'm thrilled for you on the one side. On the other side, you do understand this doesn't happen usually.
They're toast.
It's like you'll never $4 dogs don't really come home every day. So today it's completely opposite. I have two plays. Again, these are all available at VSiN.com/picks, as are the picks in every sport by every host, by every guest on this network. It's the rare day where we have two favorites. I'm on Marta Kostyuk. Got her at minus 145 yesterday. When I looked right before the show, it was minus 149. Don't let it get higher than that. Minus 145, you know, minus 152 is the actual, you know, minus 155 somewhere. There's the actual break point, but I wouldn't let it get higher than that. But I got her minus 145, Marta Kostyuk, in her quarterfinal match today. What are you seeing right now on that, Kelly, as you look at that?
Marta Kostyuk is minus 145.
Okay, minus 145. So you can still play that. She is taking on, by the way, and it's
Anastasia Potapova.
Potapova, that's right. And then the other one is Emma Navarro. We're going back to the Emma Navarro well. You could actually get this a few cents better than I did. I got a minus 127 last night. I saw minus 121 this morning. Navarro taking on Maria Sakkari in another quarterfinal. So two favorites, Marta Kostyuk, Emma Navarro. Those are the two plays today. Not nearly as sexy as yesterday, I get it, but the value is the value where it is on a daily basis.
What do you think a price would have been Sakkari versus Sabalenka?
Sakkari would have been a dog, and she would have been probably like a two plus dollar dog.
Gotcha. Okay.
I'm guessing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well. Just wondering if that was a little bit of a over adjustment by the books.
Oh, dude, what I was saying yesterday on air. I mean, like.
Listen, man, I know you had the number at.
$4, yeah. Like, that made no sense yesterday, much like the Katie Vollenhead's numbers don't make any sense. Tennis, it's moving on.
Flies back?
He's talking about an actual living fly that menaces us here at the D. We'll take care of it. This thing is winning. We'll come back. More college basketball. Final Four markets on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
They're showing an episode of Charmed behind you. I'm going to say peak Alyssa Milano. I'm going to go with. Oh, hey, everybody. Get an early start on your college hoops tournament betting with VSiN's full court bracket betting coverage this Sunday. Oh, it's going to be big this Sunday. We're going to have a full show dedicated to opening lines for every game, and you have full access to the show, the betting splits, and picks with VSiN's free access through Sunday. Just register at VSiN.com/champweek. The VSiN college hoops experts, Jonathan Von Tobel and Tim Murray, co-hosts of VSiN Primetime. They'll analyze every game and discuss with the bookmakers making the lines to find the best early value. Don't wait for the lines to move. Start your bracket and tournament betting with VSiN's Betting the Bracket show this Sunday starting at 7 p.m. Eastern. Pardon me, 4 p.m. Pacific. With so many bottles to choose from, it's easy to find your favorite all at the lowest prices for over 30 years. Find what you love and love what you find at Total Wine and More. Drink responsibly. Be 21. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Trip Tepper. Now that we're out of the betting dark ages here in North Carolina, I can finally tail Gil's tennis picks. Fired a small bet on all three. We'll enjoy the profit with Navarro plus 425 carrying the day. Yes, we will. Larry Fresh, I sent my cousin that $4 dog in tennis, and he didn't put it in. Do I cut him out of my will? Yes. The answer is yes, you do. I believe it's the only answer. Las Vegas 514. Yo, as a Richard Montgomery Rocket alum, Montgomery County, Maryland, the way we lost last night to Walt Whitman was gut-wrenching. We even made SportsCenter, but for all the wrong reasons, March Madness, even in high school, it was even worse live. Bad vomity emoji. SVP showed that last night. Talking about Montgomery County, Maryland, for all those of you in the DMV. Whitman on a buzzer beater beating Richard Montgomery. My buddy Richard played in the state championship for Whitman when we were in high school. They lost. Sorry. And then finally, James Sott. I totally didn't understand the dudes that's job is to cover tennis didn't know how to say Parry's name. The whole match, basically. Think one was Jim Courier, but come on, your job. Got Navarro plus 425. Yeah. Again, as I was saying, Haber and Courier, they just could not wrap their heads around. And even when they found out the real name, they were still Diane pairing it the whole way. So anyway, she didn't get
it. Yeah, it's never a good look.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah, it's not something you see often.
But Haber even admitted, he was like, it took us 8 years to get Sakkari right. They used to say Sakkari.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to say, there are some, you know, like Ludvig Åberg is a great one on PGA Tour. We've been trying to figure out for a year, basically, how to say the guy's name. And sometimes they don't even help out. You know, Ludvig, I don't even say his first name, right? Ludvig. I mean, he at the point of like a month ago, he was like, just go Oberg, because you guys aren't getting it that you guys are all over the map. Just go Oberg, you'll be closer.
Well, who was it? Emilio, what's his first name?
Emiliano Grillo?
Grillo, Grigio, Grio.
I use all of them.
Right? Grillo, Grio, Grigio, G-R-I-L-L-O in golf. He said the same thing. He was finally, he's Argentine, right? He finally was like, are you Americans? Just call me Grillo.
Sometimes these are, I'm not trying to make excuses because it is like, okay, you've got one match that you're covering for 2+ hours. There's only two people involved. It's not exactly a football game, right, where there's 11 guys on each side. Like, no, there's two people. You should probably know how to say their names.
Probably.
Ben Wilson would never do that.
Ben Wilson would have his ducks in a row, his T's crossed and his I's dotted.
That's right.
Anything, any other cliche we're
on the lead up, by the way, to the great bracket show. But Ben Wilson, myself, and Dustin Sweetelson live that Sunday. You should check it out.
Oh, okay. I thought you were telling me something I didn't know, that I was on the lead. Okay. You guys are you, Dustin, and Ben.
Just throwing in a random plug.
Yeah, absolutely. all right. So many ways you can bet March Madness, not just the outrights. And obviously, once you have brackets, there'll be brackets to the Survivor. We'll talk brackets and Survivor next week. And then we'll also do, by the way, Beating the Book Megapod, Will Hill, Todd Wishnev, and I on Monday. Can't wait for that. We'll do that after the show, talking pick by pick, quarters, full tournament. But quarters, which we talk about in tennis, which is really to make the Final Four in college hoops, that's a market that you could delve into right now. And I don't know if do you have any bets in this market at all?
No, I don't. I wanted to check these out, though, and kind of pick your brain on kind of, you know, if you bet these, when do you bet these? You know, I'm assuming you're applying, if you bet them, you're applying your formula to what teams you're looking at, because this would be the first step of the way. It always fascinates me, though, these markets, you know, kind of like a tennis tournament, right? Like where it's pre and post draw. You know what I mean? Yep, betting these exactly now, right, compared to betting them after you know what the full field looks like and actually what region they're going to end up in. I wanted to bring these up. I know we hadn't really discussed them, and they've been posted for a while. UConn, even money, and then everybody else plus money behind it. Houston plus 130.
So as we have talked about on the show before, I do have two bets already in this market. UConn plus 180. Made that about a month ago.
Oh, that's nice.
And then before that, BYU at 12-1. And I don't know where BYU is, but I don't think they're much shorter than that now, right? They're just a tick shorter than
that. Yeah, let me find here.
Now, UConn, the play on UConn was just because, like everyone else, I was like, UConn's the best team in the country. They're the only team I really trust. They might be bracket, you know, look, everything's mayhem in March Madness, but they might be the most sort of bracket proof.
Yeah.
So I took them at plus 180, just didn't want to think about it. I was like, okay, let me have this for Final Four.
Okay, but that's smart, because that's what we talk about, that, like, basically that betting strategy we've talked about so much with so many of these NFL props that we've gone over. It's like, hey, if you know this number is going to get shorter,
that's right,
there's nothing wrong with betting it now. So I guess the question would be, what are the teams during these conference tournaments, right, that could make the biggest surge?
Well, so this is where I was getting to, Mr. Bidlin. So the other BYU, the reason that I have BYU is because one of the things that you want to, and this dovetails nicely in with like the giant killer segment we used to do with Peter Keating of which are the teams that have the characteristics to author an upset or two come March Madness. And one of the there's a couple characters. One is you grind them down to the slow pace, and so the team that has the lesser talent minimizes the total possessions, and you do it that way. The other one is if you are just a volume 3-point shooting team. And so BYU, the reason that I bet them
14 to 1.
So even better than when I got it, right? BYU does this thing where they lead tons of games, and you know, just wait, they're going to squander this lead and hopefully they can rebound. It just happened yesterday too with them. They're volume 3-point shooters, and even when they're up, Pope, their coach, even says, like, that's just the way we play. Like, that's their gear. So BYU is one of these teams where I'm like, you know what? If they just have a four-game, three-point run, they could be a Final Four team. So I took them at 12-1. You could even get them at a better number now. But just to give you some other candidates, and we'll look at, you know, things like three-point percentage, three-pointers made per game, three-point rate. If you look at all of those and like, which are the teams that fit the bill? Which are some of the other teams? Kentucky, of course, is one of those teams where, again, we asked Kai McKeon, you know, what is the team that you think has the most volatile in terms of outcomes? Some folks answered Gonzaga. My answer to this question would be Kentucky. If Kentucky goes on a 3-point run, plays a little defense, they could be a Final Four team.
Take and make a ton of threes?
Yeah. The problem is Kentucky's plus 450. So it's like it's not that juicy of a number. Which are the ones that you can, you know, BYU, second in 3-point rate, for instance. But what are the other teams? Creighton is another one. A lot of 3-point volume. What's Creighton's number on this? Creighton, obviously, one of our five teams just on the outside
plus
looking in on the
50, so just below this.
So plus 550.
Yeah.
Creighton, one of the five teams that are just on the outside looking in our formula to win it all. So they're a volume 3-point shooting team. Alabama, which I have to win the title, not to have a Final Four. Alabama's another one of these. Now they play no defense at all.
So, but that's like, I think that's one where, okay, Kentucky, right? Like Kentucky, if I was going to bet it in this market, I'm also betting them to win it all, because what are the chances you get to the Final Four and you're sitting there, how angry are you going to be with yourself? You don't have Kentucky with an outright ticket, right?
You'd be quite angry.
You'd be quite angry. But like in Alabama, if you know they can't play defense coming in, and like you're talking, like you were talking about with BYU, you're just hoping for a great, you know, 4-game stretch, right? Like where you need to go off on offense. Okay, like maybe if I can get to that point, I'm okay cashing it plus 750 and not having, you know, an outright ticket on them.
Yeah, and then you talk about, again, and this dovetails because they sort of blur. Like the Venn diagram is pretty, you know, intersected on these in terms of giant killers and like, all right, what, you know, if you want some crazy long shot odds to reach the Final Four, like, what is a team that has the characteristics? And again, I'm not betting these, just full disclosure. But if you're looking for the characteristic part of this, like, okay, the Indiana State Sycamores are one of these teams that volume three shoot. And so do I think they're going to get to the Final Four? I don't. I'm just saying, if you want a long shot on something like that, they've got to let them in the tournament first. Then they've got to author an upset or two or three or four. So it's a long way to get to the Final Four, but they're more of a giant killer team, but it sort of, you know, bleeds into this. I'm just saying Creightons and the Kentuckys and the Alabamas and the BYUs are much more for the Final Four. But if you're talking about like a team that could win a game or two with the same characteristics of volume threes, Indiana State and Samford, which got an auto bid.
So like, I think that's a good example, though. Indiana State, okay, if you want to take a long shot in this market, you could. I mean, that's 80-1 right there. 80-1.
Remember, the upsets happen in rounds one and two.
Well, that's what I was going to say. But at least if you get to the Final Four, then you might be staring down at UConn and whoever else coming up next.
But this is the thing about this. The upsets happen in rounds one or two. It becomes a lot more chalky after that, right? Though it didn't last year, right? So Final Four market is one of the ways. Individual upsets, obviously, another. But you're looking for characteristics. We'll come back. Tim Murray's thoughts on the other side. Next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Not a registered VSiN.com user yet? Create a free account today and get VSiN Pro access to everything we do through the NCAA Championship Weekend this Sunday, Selection Sunday. Sign up today at VSiN.com/champ. We can get instant VSiN Pro access, including our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand, betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game, betting systems, premium analysis, 24/7 video access, plus our all-new NCAA Tournament Betting Primer. Don't miss out on this VSiN Pro free preview to help you bet the tournament smarter. Create a free account. That's a free account now at VSiN.com/champweek and get full VSiN Pro access from now through March 17th. That's VSiN.com/champweek. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Barcanada, the barrage here at the D, downtown Las Vegas. Pleasure to have this guy on. We don't have him on often, but we always love it when we see his face. He's the co-host, along with Jonathan Von Tobel of VSiN Prime Time weekdays here on the network. It's Tim Murray, everybody. How you doing, Tim? Courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. What's happening?
What's up, Gil? The pride of D.C., my man. What's, we're ready to rock today. Hey, today's a beautiful day, a very underrated day. So, we have a game starting in 30 minutes.
Yes, Gil. We do. Yes,
we will have games until the wee hours of the morning. 52 games today. So be careful. Just
be careful.
Don't Be crazy, you know. Dip your toe in there. Don't be throwing 57-unit plays out there at 8 o'clock Pacific time. But, no, it's a great day. It's a fun day. And conference tournaments are always a unique nut to try to crack when it comes to handicapping.
Yeah, today, among other things, ACC quarters, A-10 quarters, Big East quarters, Big 12 quarters, Pac-12 quarters, WAC quarters. You get the idea. SWAC, Mountain West. I'm sorry? Say again?
Mountain West. Don't forget about the Mountain West.
Oh, I've skipped over the Mountain West. That's right. Mountain West quarters, second half of quarters, and a few other conferences. But as Tim said, Kent State and Toledo tipping off in the MAC a little less than a half hour from now. All right, let me start with what Kelly and I were just talking about in the previous segment. Do you have any bets to win it all, going to Big Dance first, or to get to the Final Four? Have you made any futures bets?
All right. Well, I'm going to make fun of myself here, first and foremost, because, you know, everybody loves to puff out their chest about the EV that they've got. I have one really, really bad bet, and that's New Mexico to make the Final Four, Gil. Hey, man, you got to own it.
Wow.
Me and JVT were puffing out our chests a little bit, maybe got a little too excited, and we took New Mexico, who is fighting for their life to make the field. So not one of my proudest moments of that 17-1 ticket, which you can probably get at like 35 or 40-1, somewhere in that ballpark. I also took a little Gonzaga before they lost to St. Mary's. So that's not looking awesome either. They're going to be on the 7 or 8 line. As for futures, the ones that intrigue me a little bit, I think the high variance teams, you know, wasn't that long ago, Gil, that you could get Kentucky at a pretty good price. Now I think you're paying a pretty big premium for a team that doesn't play defense. But look, I think, you know, people are going to say that, you know, you need these big plus prices. At this point, Gil, I think it makes sense if you don't have anything in pocket yet to reach the Final Four, to win the national championship, look at the bracket on Sunday and then decide what you want to do. Let's say, you know, UConn is, let's just use them for example. They're going to be the one seed in the East. They're going to play in Brooklyn. Then they're going to play in Boston. They're going to have, you know, a lot of fans supporting them. Look at the draw that they get. I remember a couple of years ago when Gonzaga's draw came out, and I just looked at it, Gil, and I said, oh my God, I mean, they're going to walk into the Final Four, and they did. So, you know, I wouldn't at this point, if you don't have anything in pocket, just me personally, Gil, I wouldn't play anything right now until the bracket. We're so close to the bracket. It's so matchup dependent. Maybe you foresee a couple upsets in said bracket, and then you could, you know, take a flyer there. I remember last year I picked the wrong team in the Memphis FAU game because I looked at that bracket and I felt like one of those teams could make a run. I decided to hitch my wagon to Memphis. It ended up being FAU, but you can look at the bracket once it comes out and really kind of project, at least in your own head, okay, I think this draw works out well. So I'll be honest, at this point, so close to Selection Sunday, I wouldn't bet anything. I would wait till the bracket comes out on Sunday.
That's why we do tennis podcast post-draw and not pre-draw. Same philosophy as we were talking about. All right, sound advice. What about in these conference tournaments, which we just mentioned, a plethora of them are in the quarters today. Are you, if someone wanted to make a bet in any of them now, obviously the refrain of, well, if you do a money line parlay, you'll get a better number. That's going to apply to some, if not most. But maybe there's a futures play in one of these conferences that you still like. Is there?
You know, the other day I was going to double check here. You know, UConn at it was like -125 at Circa. I thought that was a fair price. I think it's gone up a little bit just because I do think, you know, with Marquette, now the news coming out that Tyler Kolek is likely to play, not tonight, but moving forward, maybe changes a little bit there for obviously, as you alluded to, that money line parlay price. The Mountain West is fascinating. You could get some serious plus money on some of these teams on the bottom half of the bracket. I think San Diego State probably a little bit overvalued, even though for me personally, I do like the draw that San Diego State has, especially with the unlikeliness of Caleb Boone playing today for UNLV, which is a big hit for the Rebels. But yeah, I think if you look at a team like Boise State, if you like Nevada, you're getting a decent plus price there, because it's essentially at this point, you know, outside of Utah State taking on Fresno State today, Gil, every game is going to be around 3-4 points at max. I mean, that's San Diego State today against UNLV. So I do think if you look at the Mountain West, me personally, I don't have anything in pocket there. But, you know, from a game by game perspective, I think the San Diego State game is obviously gotten maybe a little bit away from us. I thought UNLV played them really, really well just a couple weeks ago. San Diego State then responded by losing again. So very uncharacteristically, San Diego State coming into today with multiple losses in a row. But I do think they get their revenge today. But I'll be honest, I don't know if I'm racing to lay 4.5, Gil, with the Aztecs against UNLV. But once again, UNLV, as the report came out yesterday, unlikely to have Caleb Boone, which is a pretty significant loss for the Runner Rebs.
What are your favorite ATS plays around college hoops today?
Yeah, so the one, I'll give you one that's starting here pretty shortly, a little bit later on this afternoon at Madison Square Garden. And, you know, it's funny. It's the rematch, Gil, of the game that we saw Rick Pitino lose his mind after. This is where he called out his team because of, you know, their lateral quickness was all gone. And, you know, since then, St. John's has kind of has turned the corner here. And I think a lot of people, this reminds me a little bit, not fully, but a little bit of what we saw on Tuesday night, where Gonzaga started to play really well. They beat St. Mary's in the regular season finale. And, you know, we kind of fell for Gonzaga, you know, being back. And that was not the case, as St. Mary's went out and as a 3.5-point underdog won by 9. I think Seton Hall is a tricky matchup for St. John's. They swept the season series and they're catching 4 today. I do think Seton Hall at +4, that game coming up around 2:30 Eastern, is an intriguing option there. And look, if you want to, you know, money line parlays this time of year are very tricky because you got to question motivation about different teams and where they stand. But I think a little revenge special, if you put it UNLV with Arizona, both those games tipping off in the earlier start slots of the day, that's around -110-ish. I think that is a play worth looking. And then, look, I might fall for it again. I mentioned that I have a future on New Mexico, but late night tonight, Gil, we've got a really good one, and the market's starting to move towards them. And I don't know if desperation works, you know, this time of year. And I think there's something to be said about New Mexico and the style that they play, that if they are desperate, it doesn't work out all that well. But I think New Mexico and Boise is going to be phenomenal tonight. And I think New Mexico at a pick or +1 is an intriguing game to look at. Haven't pulled the trigger on that one yet. The other two I have, but the one I keep staring at and coming back to from an ATS standpoint for tonight is New Mexico. And, you know, you look up and down the board and that's where you could get really interesting. And, you know, real quickly, just a side note, I mean, you know, think about last night. You know, you have a team in DePaul who hadn't won a game all year, and they very well should have beaten Villanova, Gil. So that was, you know, you're going to get some weird results in these conference tournaments. You see Kansas resting two of their best players. Now they're banged up, but they got, you know, blown off the floor by Cincinnati. So, you know, don't just assume that the best teams are going to go out there and want to, you know, go out and dominate. So it's a fascinating time of year to handicap.
Tim, we got to run, but I need a one-team answer. Who gets screwed on Selection Sunday by the committee?
Indiana State.
Quick answer, huh?
Jeez. Yeah, it's going to stink. I want Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Robbie Avila, but look, man, you can't lose conference games like they did, so I hope I'm wrong. I would love to be wrong, but I think Indiana State gets screwed on Selection Sunday.
Oh, don't say that. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, by the way, one of the great nicknames of all time. Not quite the human rain delay, Mike Hargrove, for the Cleveland Indians in the 70s, but it's up there. Tim Murray, everybody, from VSiN Primetime. Thank you, Tim. Enjoy the games.
See you, Gil.
Wall-to-wall hoops. Crackman next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game, proudly brought to you by DraftKings, here live at Bar Canada at the D at downtown Las Vegas. This week on DraftKings Sportsbook, new customers can bet just $5 and pocket $150 in bonus bets instantly. Download the app and use promo code VSIN when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. And Kelly, with so many bottles to choose from, it's easy to find your favorite all at the lowest prices for over 30 years. Find what you love and love what you find at Total Wine & More. Drink responsibly. B21. Didn't mean to, like, you know, direct that at you or anything. Wasn't sending you a message or anything, but wanted to point that out. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Thursday. You know what that means in this hour. Unscripted with the crack man, Bill Krakenberger. Oh, yeah.
March Madness is in the air.
At Bill Crackman with a K. It's William Krakenberger, everybody.
That's it.
In case you're unfamiliar with his work, co-host of the Wise Guy, Wise Cracks podcast. I want to get that right, with John Orlando.
Yes.
Not
the Wise Guy with Ken Wall.
No.
Yeah.
Different. Wise Guy with Ken Wall. What an old reference that is. Let me ask you this. Do you bet a lot of college conference hoops?
Conference
tournaments?
Bet some college hoops, sure. Some conference tournaments. But, you know, I do bet a lot more in this first round of March Madness, though. First round, even into the second round, as it goes on more and more, I bet less and less. It becomes more like NBA games, which is, I feel, NBA, especially sides. I think NBA sides are next to unbeatable as you can get. I mean, this year, especially, actually the last 2 years, I think NBA sides possibly is even harder than NFL sides. So that says a lot, you know, because here in town you could still have points on NFL sides throughout the season. You can get those extra half points on the key numbers of 7-3, 10-4, whatever, 6. So you can get those extra half points if you have the slower moving sports books here in town. So I think NFL sides has become something where, yeah, I do know some guys that actually win, and it's very far and few in between. But and NFL side and NBA sides, boy, they're just so hard to beat. I'm used to beating totals and proposition bets and that type of thing.
You used to say that the beginning of the college basketball season was where you made your hay. That was your best time of year. Is that still the case?
Yes, yes. Early basketball is...
But wasn't it choppy this year?
It was. Yeah. It was. It was absolute for everybody. Not me. I don't know. I don't know a gambling syndicate that didn't struggle. You know, and I'm not saying we lost, but we didn't win. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It didn't win anything substantial.
The in-game was solid, I can tell you that. So the pre-flop was not.
You guys you guys are doing in-game stuff, and it's been pretty good?
In-game was good early.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, early.
Early.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think I can say the same since. So you and you...
I'm still betting, though. I still think I have a mathematical edge or I wouldn't be playing. Yeah, for sure. You know, it's been pretty good. We actually had a couple good weeks here recently. So, you know, I think, but for the March Madness season, give out some, little tips that I give out every year. You guys will probably remember the first half value, I think, on the big teams, betting against the bigger name teams in the first half, I think, which people never look at first half lines, you know, who's going to, you know, play, you know, these small little conference teams that just, you know, barely got in 14, 15, whatever, you know.
So you're talking about big spread games.
Yeah, yeah.
Fade the favorite in the first half.
Well, first off, first half's a pure number, unlike a full game number where there's a lot of garbage fouls in the full game. You're going to get a pure number in the first half. And normally against the big name teams that people come into town or come into bet, you know, they are always looking to bet first half and game sometimes. So they stay in the first half. Some of these kids are in the dance for the first time. They you know, they'll hang around here getting double digits in the first half or compared to usually the strength will show by the full game and the higher ranked team will outperform in the second half. Whereas the first half, they seem to stay in it more. The talent and the depth, like I said, normally does show in the second half. But if there is any kind of upsets, usually they're earlier in the March Madness segment. You know, it's usually earlier. So I think rather than later, where it seems like you get purer games, more. That's why I bet less, obviously. So I think there's some some of these big underdogs in the first half. Not, you can't do it blindly, but I think there's some value on taking some of the big underdogs in the first half.
Any other March Madness sort of betting tenet that you subscribe to?
Just protect your bankroll. Not, you know, you get, people get so caught up. Oh my God.
Oh,
even more than the Super Bowl.
What about today? There's 50 games.
Yeah, all
right?
These games today. Right, right.
People, I mean,
go nuts. They get so caught up in betting. When they see a split screen and the lines on all the, oh my God, they get so excited. They're firing on every game. And then when those games are over, there's another set of games. Oh, by the way, and when that's over, there's another set of games. So you just don't have to bet every game just because it's on TV, even though I know you will. Like most people, you know, not maybe listeners to this show, more of an astute audience. But in general, I try to, you know, when the shows I'm doing this week, I try to promote not just going crazy. I know it's the most, listen, this was the most, the funnest, if that's a word, weeks ever to be in Vegas.
Yes.
Back, this is before these, I think 38 states have some form of sports betting now. But everyone came to town. It was the biggest thing. It was like, oh my God. And you get all your stuff and you get all your pages and you get all your bets ready. And, you know, it's just now there's sports betting in you know, more than half the country. And people kind of just could do it right in the safety of their own home. It's almost like closet gambling, you know. Like they.
So
just,
you don't think that Vegas will still always be king for an event like this?
Definitely. You know, that was the big fear, though.
Yeah.
They didn't want to tell you that. That's the, right. The big fear was, oh my God, these other states are going to get sports betting. We're in a lot of trouble. And meanwhile, it introduced so much gambling to a different crowd. And
a rising tide lifts all boats.
And, yeah, exactly. And, yeah. And Vegas is busier than ever. And sports betting in Vegas is busier than ever. So,
but you know what? Because you're segueing into this, the whole conversation. What is the greatest time of year to come to Vegas for events? And a lot of people would say the first week of March Madness, the Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Then a lot of people will say, oh, it's conference week. A lot of people will say it's the Sweet 16 if you want to avoid the madness of the first weekend, if that's too much for you. You know, one of the sort of underrated things that never gets mentioned, when me and my buddies back in the day, so this is pre-VSiN, when I lived in California, they're coming from DC, we used to meet in Vegas every first week of March Madness. And I've said this before on the show, but I just think it needs to be for those who are thinking about trips, maybe not this year, but in future years. It used to be that we would never have to worry about it being pool season. We would never have to worry about it. It'd be like, sweet, we make bets, we'll go to the pool. We'll go in and cash our bets, we'll make more bets, we'll go back to the pool. It was a whole thing. Since VSiN started, we're talking 2017, the weather has completely changed.
Wow.
It is never pool weather anymore.
He's 100% right.
Never
pool
weather.
Before I moved here 20 years ago,
yes,
I used to come out on March Madness, and we always went to the pool.
Always. So the last 6-7 years.
Oh, my God, I forgot about it.
I mean, you can go, but you're like doing the thing where you're like, you know, freezing out there. I mean, you're welcome to do that, but it's just not the same thing. The only thing that might save us this year is because we're sort of like a week later. But like if it was this week, like it's freezing outside.
It's freezing outside.
Oh, my God. It's so cold this morning.
45 degrees.
45, windy, cold. Oh.
So that is definitely one of these things where it's like this generation didn't have the same thing that we did. It was always beautiful. And so we'll see next week.
Stop complaining about your global warming, says Gil.
You know, Gil is right, though. Even my buddies used to come away coming from Jersey. And we all came in together before I lived here. And we always went to the pool. So what happened? Is it just something? It's the same time of year.
It's almost as if. It's almost as if there's some climate change. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
You know, it's almost as if. I don't know. Well, is anybody talking about that?
You are in a dicey time of year, though. Like, like the weather out here, right? We are in the period where it's changing over. So, like, even like, you know, 4 days ago, it was 70 degrees and it was nice, right?
But then it's 45 degrees. But the wind, like, how many years in a row now are we like, would this wind just stop already?
Nice.
Wind is the worst. The worst first world problems, but still, that's the difference.
Last tip give out too is I don't like betting into a future pool. I don't like betting like Purdue 7-1. I don't like betting that very often. What you can do is as soon as the brackets are announced, just you can look at the brackets and look at your team if you want a team or two for to bet a future on. Just look at their potential matchups are. You can figure out the money lines yourself. If you follow throughout the season, it's not as hard as you think. And you can get a guesstimate anyway. It could be off for a little bit. And you could figure out that money line parlay, how much it should pay, the ROI compared to betting a straight, you know, 7-1 or 8-1 into a pool that's holding 40-50%. So
yeah, we say this all the time on this show, and I'm sure we say it all throughout the network, and it is the correct thing to say.
Yeah.
I always wonder, what is the actual percentage of people who actually pay heed to that, right?
Very little.
7%, maybe 5% of the people?
Yeah,
that's too high.
Yeah.
But still, you're right. Everything you're saying is right, mathematically speaking. So that is our PSA. Dan Le Batard is next on the DK Network. We're coming back for more Numbers Game. 4 years ago this Thursday, the world, well, it changed. We'll talk about that next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.